You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. If you're watching, you might notice that there's something a little different.
This is not Danny Silk.
That was not my dad. You are correct.
This is your number one guy.
I'm my number one guy. It almost feels like we're at the Imperfect Parenting podcast.
Just going to say that.
Except for we're normally closer together. I can't quite touch you.
It's a different table normally. We can be closer, but
yeah,
different set, different conversation.
Different crowd.
Same people.
Potentially.
Yeah, it's true.
It's probably a different crowd. So if you like Ben and I's dynamic, you can go and listen just to the two of us at Imperfect
the
Parenting.
The Kylo Show, we're coming for you.
Yes.
That's great. It's good to be here.
It's fun to have you. And
it's an honor to host this with just you.
And
this
to sit in my dad's seat.
I know. It's warm. He's been here a lot.
Well, if you've been listening to the marriage series, you've just heard my parents. They were up before us, and we had a conversation with the four of us. Mm-hmm. We've got some fun things that are happening. So I'm excited that Ben and I are here. We're really kind of – the point of just the two of us being on here is talking about kind of the early years of marriage. Yeah. We are nearly 20 years, so we're early-ish. People don't believe that we've been married 20 years because – we look so young.
And we just, yeah.
And Ben likes to tell everybody we got married at 12. That is not true.
People believe us because they look at us and like, how have you married 20 years? How old are you?
Yeah. So, so we're going to have a conversation and some questions around the early stages of marriage. And I don't know. I think about we like to focus on marriage, like pre-marriage, we call them 10 years and under. So that's kind of where this topic is going to be focused around, is some of the struggles that we faced or some of the things that we discovered or some things to be looking for. Because when you first get married, it does feel like you have this honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can do no wrong.
You can do no wrong. And it's definitely your willingness to pretend like something doesn't drive you crazy or... it's fine. One of the funny things that I always think about when we were first married, I think it was our first night together, sleeping together,
mm-hmm.
maybe the first week of sleeping together. We're on our honeymoon.
I think I know where you're going.
And you made this funny little noise mm-hmm. that I couldn't figure out what was happening because it wasn't a snore. It wasn't a...
It's like an internal throat snort.
Okay.
Kind of.
Yeah, you scratch your throat.
There
like
you go.
That's what you would do.
Yeah.
And it sounded like I was sleeping next to a little piggy. And so I remember waking.
Was it cute the first night?
Sure. I remember looking at you going, oh my gosh, this is the cutest snore I've ever heard in my life. That slowly and fairly quickly went away.
You can stop or sleep in a different room now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was cute, and I'm sure your whole family thought it was cute, too, until I can't sleep next to you all night long because you just would do it all night. That was the funny part. Is I never knew that until we got married and we're sleeping together.
Yeah.
I don't know what I do. I'm confessing.
I had a question was coming, and I was like, I just thought it was all cute in the beginning.
I think you still sometimes think it's
cute. I probably do. We're different. Whatever. It's fine.
I take a long time to get ready.
There is that.
There's lots of creams and lotions at my station.
Sharing the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That was probably the biggest. But you grew up with sisters. I don't know if you shared your bathroom with them, but.
I mean, sharing's a loose word. Is it my turn yet? I just need 2 minutes. Just give me 2 minutes.
But. So those are, it just was a funny thing because it was cute. And then all of a sudden it was driving me crazy. And I end up kicking you in the middle of the night, like, knock it off.
And I mean, that's funny, but it's true. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the great honor to lead 35 young married couples through a course recently. It was so fun and so enjoyable. But I think this is often where couples get stuck, is they get married, they go through the honeymoon phase, and then they get to this point where they're like, wait a minute. You didn't tell me this was coming.
Mm-mm.
You didn't tell me that was there before we got married.
Mm-hmm.
What is this?
Yeah.
And they get stuck because they're like, I didn't expect that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this was going to drive me that crazy. What is happening?
And we start to hit our maturity lids a little bit. I thought I was a really mature adult that got married, and I thought I could handle, and I've been in other relationships, and I know how to set boundaries, and I know how to communicate. And then all of a sudden, I have joined my life to you, and we have different ways of communicating, different normals. And now we're, I mean, a lot of couples go to war on your normal is wrong.
Yep.
You need to be like my normal. And if that is what's going on in the young stage of marriage, it gets really, really hard because you send that message, which we did so well. Mm-hmm. One of us is more important than the other.
Yep.
And typically it's the more aggressive one that's going to win and the more passive one that's going to cower. And then you create this agreement.
Yeah. So I think one of the pieces for us is, and we did this, I think looking back, we would have probably put more energy into it, but getting as self-aware as possible before you get married,
mm-hmm.
there's a whole bunch more coming your way.
Oh, yes.
On the other side of marriage. And you're going to learn a whole bunch
there's
about
like
yourself.
There's like self-aware pre-married and self-aware post-married.
Yeah.
Very different.
But just the awareness of, okay, this is my communication style. Mm-hmm. This is how I deal with conflict. Mm-hmm. This is my how I show up when I'm afraid. This is how I get through it. I think even those simple things, this is my disc makeup. At this point, this is my Enneagram. Mm-hmm. Just understanding myself as much as I can. So I can come into it going, okay, these are the pitfalls. These are the areas that I'm going to fall down and hurt myself and then hurt you.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to learn a bunch about myself as well coming.
Yeah. I think, you know, we were talking about this morning in the 6 to 8 year window. We got married and had 3 children. Because
mm-hmm.
Lincoln came right at the end of that 8 years, like
9th or something.
So he may have scooted, he may have slid on into the 9th year. But that's a lot to happen in 6 to 8 years, 6 to 9 years, 6 to 9, Madagascar, 6 to 9. Anyways, but I think probably one of the biggest battles that we had was sex and intimacy, mm-hmm. even though we had 3 kids. So clearly we figured it out for at least 3. And communication was, and then the ability to have needs and boundaries within very different work schedules and very different things like that. So those are my top 3 things as far as the hardest. I think for me, the reason why sex and intimacy was hard is having 3 babies, struggling with my weight, struggling with loving myself in those seasons of my weight, my body changing dramatically really quickly after we got married, because I got married young. So I'm just, yes, you were there.
Me too.
Well, got married super young, and then my body almost immediately changed because got pregnant 1 year later. Yeah. So everything was just expedited. Communication, I think I grew up, obviously, you all know, with my parents, and Ben's the most like my dad, but my dad I had a lot of respect for. Ben was having to earn my respect. Mm-hmm. And then I think that, and then my communication style, I got free range of being a butthead. That's absolutely what happened, is Brittany became a butthead because Ben was okay with it.
It's true. And I made room for the butthead. Just weird to say that out loud to you, but
it's all right. It's the only time you've ever called me a butthead.
Yeah, that's true. So. I think as you were talking, I was sitting there thinking about how did this change? You know, because I think it was probably towards the end of the 6 to 8 years where we had some struggle and we let some cycles go on longer than they probably could have or should have. And I heard someone recently talking about when they've seen things change in their life, it's because they invited a coach in, some kind of coach.
And a coach or a mentor.
Yeah. So to start here, come back to our 35 couples we walked with recently.
Yeah.
We went through Relationship 101 on Life Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to a certain point in the weeks we were with them. And Brittany said the words, "our sex coaches." And the whole room went, "Huh? What are you talking about?" Which really what that meant is it's just some mentors in our life, some people that we deeply trusted. Uh-huh. We're a few years ahead of us.
Gabe and Leah, if you're listening, Gabe, we love you.
Yeah. Someone sent it to them. But they, yeah, we had such respect for them, and they were doing it well.
Mm-hmm.
They, again, they were a few years ahead of us. And so we would go to them and say, we need some help. This is before marriage. Mm-hmm. Brittany actually said, we will not be sleeping together the first night unless you talk to someone. So I...
You overzealous. I knew your touch loving was coming for me.
So Gabe took me out for a burger and we had a great conversation. I still give away the advice he gave me.
Yeah.
But I, you know, so that happened right there with them is we would go to them. I mean, literally as married couples, we were neighbors for a season. So we would go sit with them and say, okay, we need some help.
Yeah.
How does this work? What are we doing wrong? Mm-hmm. And it's just those little moments of, okay, there's someone actually seeing us and giving wisdom that's outside our current knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's the same with communication with your dad and your mom.
Yeah.
We would go to them and say, something's wrong with Ben. Something's wrong with Brittany.
She's never said that. I always said there's something wrong with you.
I was thinking that you were saying out loud. But it's just the permission to give someone access is really what changes the conversation and changes the game. So that's one thing I think we did that I would really encourage young married couples, especially, is go find a mentor.
Yeah.
And for some of you, it's this podcast. For some of you listening to this going, okay, what's a new concept I can add that I haven't thought of?
And a different thing about a coach than a podcast is that someone's actually giving you feedback.
Exactly.
So you might be asking your question on the show, but if you don't actually have someone walking with you, I don't know how well we're giving you feedback and the question which you're asking, because I don't know all, I can't ask any other questions. Right. So, you know.
And your spouse isn't here either.
Right. So we're just got a lot of assumptions going. And what we did with those couples that we walked with, is what was really fun is we were their coach for a solid 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Is that what we did? And we put them in small groups and we had another couple with us and we were with them and we talked and did Q&A and hard conversation. I mean, we were having hard feedback sessions.
We were in their life.
We were. And it was amazing and beautiful. And the testimonies that have come out of it are changing the dynamic of the culture of their marriage and what they're going to continue. I saw a couple on Sunday. You weren't there at that service because I did prayer. And so behind me is one of the couples and I was checking in on them. They're just giddy to see us because they feel like we've invested in something that they want to do really well.
Yeah.
And that is what changed our cycles. We welcomed in somebody and said, we don't know what we're doing. We're tired of going on this track and it's really pointless. And part of that discovery was we did this a little bit when we were dating. But the in my book, Imperfect Parenting, Connection of Perfection, I have a chapter talking about our marriage, kind of like the intro to Ben and Brittany. And I reference the me, you, and us. So having too much me or too much you and not enough us or too much us and kind of the dynamics of what that can create. And we've done that. That's part of the cycle is I consume us, especially when we have the children. It's like, you need to be with us always because I'm dying and I need help. And sure, there's a balance between even that, like my mentality of how much I should be giving to my kids and how much I need to take care of myself. But even before kids and dating, there was just that gets really confusing. And that's where I think codependency happens.
Exactly.
And that's another thing that is easy to do with an aggressive or a passive style personality is that you get this confused, muddled marriage that doesn't have a clear definition of you as an individual, me as an individual, and then us together and what we create and what the balance is.
Well, this was a conversation we had with your dad before we even engaged.
Mm-hmm.
This was the moment when I got permission and understood I had a need.
Yeah. Do you remember the analogy he gave?
Exactly. He talked about, you know, Ben has a garden and Brittany has a garden. And Brittany's garden was flourishing. She had all these needs and all these things she was giving away to Ben. And she peeked over his side of the fence and realized, your garden's empty. So she knocked down the fence and started to fill his garden. And it was such a great analogy. And it really fits right here, I think, in that, you know, you were like, hey, let me plant your garden too. Mm-hmm. I got plenty to give. And the problem was that just confirmed that you're important and I'm not. Mm-hmm. So we had to re-erect the fence, put it back up, and go, this is my garden. Because there is a point where I stop and you begin. Mm-hmm. And that has to be clear, that line. Because if it's not, it does get muddled. And then pretty quickly, you become my happy. You become my source.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing gets confusing. And so I think understanding where that line is, mm-hmm. is what actually enables me to bring my strength to you. I'm not coming to you for strength. I'm making you my target.
Mm-hmm. This is the, I think of the circles of boundaries as mm-hmm. well. When we don't have a clear and good foundation in who I am and then me and the Lord, that's where all of a sudden my spouse becomes yep. Lord, because I think that is what the most important thing is. I mean, earlier on in this series, someone asked the question to all four of us, what's your favorite thing about marriage? And I said, I love that, you know, you're a safe place, that we're friends, you know, this whole thing, but that does not mean that I can't function without you. Mm-hmm. That means you are my first choice always. Yeah. You know, not including the Lord is obviously first, in case anyone's confused. And then that's my first choice. But I also have to have other relationships. Yeah. I also have to have other places that I go, because, you know, as much as you will endure a pedicure with me, you don't enjoy them quite as much as my girlfriends. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't enjoy the same thing that you do with your guy friends mm-hmm. quite as much. Your cold plunge adventure you seem to be going on.
I know.
I don't care. Have fun.
Any cold plungers out there?
Find someone that wants to do that with you and do it over and over again. I will video it for you, which is exactly what I do. I'm the videographer. I think that's the correct word. But this is the thing, is that to have differences is a beautiful thing. But you've got to make sure that you're not living completely separate lives, especially when I think one of the challenges is newly married couples coming together, especially we've got a lot of older, mm-hmm. they're more established in their life. Yep. We were 18 and 19, so I barely had a car. That's how this is going.
I didn't have a car.
But they have this established life and they're used to living so selfishly. So to join, they now have to put something down to make space for the us. I feel like that's a really hard thing for a lot of newlyweds these days. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I think especially older people, but really just people in general, is we talked about this in the first part of the series with your parents, is just this comfort and selfishness is really trained. You know, in the world around us, it's this conversation that's pretty loud. And I think it's seeping into marriage too. And just take care of yourself. And so the me, you, and us, that's when the me gets too loud. Mm. And the us isn't in balance with that. Mm-hmm. And so it gets dangerous. Which I think the piece I always think about right here, which we're kind of talking about without using this word, but we always encourage young marriage to pay attention to community too. Mm-hmm. I remember years ago, I was meeting with this couple. They were probably in their late teens, early 20s, preparing for marriage.
Us getting
exactly.
Married.
But I had this couple in my office numerous times, and I would tell them all the time, "Who's your community? Mm-hmm. What's your plan for community?" And they're like, okay, yeah, that's important. We'll get to it." So they get married, and they never got to it. They never made space for that in priority, and they didn't weather the storm. They mm-hmm. couldn't do it, and they separated, which was so painful to watch. And it doesn't mean that's the only thing that was the problem. There was other things going on there, but the community really becomes this guardrail that I can bump up against. People can see me, can experience our marriage, mm-hmm. and go, "Hey, what's happening over there? Do you smell that?" Mm-hmm. "I didn't smell that. There's no problem there." Mm-hmm. We're all seeing it. Mm-hmm. So community is such a big piece, I think, to pay attention to as well, in the early years especially.
Yeah, and we did this with our young marriage group that we just led. We intentionally put them in the same table every week for 8 weeks because we knew that this is hard. You are in the la-la. You are in the honeymoon. You come out of it, and you go back to your old community, which may not always be something that you had together. Or you go back to the singles community, you know, which is hard because the singles, you just don't understand the tension. So it's easy to be like, "Yeah, he should," or "Yeah, she should." But you don't understand the sacrifice that's going on inside that house. You don't understand the choosing that's having to happen every single day. You don't understand the in-laws that came with this, the difference in our normals that we're fighting and then trying to make, you know, a new goal of we're going to fight together, not against each other. So finding people that are like-minded, that are going to fight for marriage and not just agree that the other person is a jerk.
That's right.
That's really important.
Yep. That's the kind of community we want.
And because that's the community that's going to give you feedback of, you know, I know you're struggling, but is he really that bad?
Yeah.
Is he really that awful? Or are you just being really selfish? I mean, that's a hard conversation to have, but from one married woman to another, I will ask you that question if you are out of control with the way that you talk about your husband. Yep. And in the sea of learning and new and normal, it's easy to get wrapped up in you're weird, you're different, I don't like it, you need you to change because it's stressing me out rather than looking at my own stuff. Yeah. And healthy, good community with like-minded people is so helpful.
Yep. Yep. Such an important piece. So that's probably lots of things to talk about, you know, taking good care of yourself, continuing to grow. I'm always growing. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge one that mentors and coaches and community really help with. And then let people see you. Mm-hmm. I think don't isolate your marriage.
Yeah.
I think in the first few months, it's kind of a natural thing.
You go on your little honeymoon, have fun.
Yeah.
But
make sure you
come
resurface.
Out of your hermit crab shell, go find some friends.
That's right. Good.
Which is, one of the places that it's been fun to see. We had a gal on Kylo University, which you and I are both transformation group leaders, which is fun because we were firsthand hearing these stories and testimonies. I was thinking of one in my group, and she's newly married, and she's running a business, and she's trying to figure out your normal and these new people I'm married to now as well, and how do you connect with my parents that I have so much grace for, and her being able to kind of navigate finding a healthy community of other people that are married that are championing after the same thing, which is health and marriage, to have these conversations of where there's tension and conversation. And I remember her just saying that I would have never had such great hard conversations with my husband had I never not been in this community.
Wow.
And it's changing how we're going to be doing marriage. And they're only a couple years in, so that's
fun. Awesome. Yeah,
but
the add to that, the one I think of real quick is this one couple, and this wife just talked about her husband. You know, if he would just change, if he would just do something different, this would all be so much better. Yeah. And just being in Kylo University and being with us and just hearing this stuff at a deeper level and having people going, hey, do you see this thing? You understand? Do you hear how you just responded?
Yeah.
She began to work on herself, and the way the story went is she came back one day and said, something shifted when I really took care of myself and became a powerful person and pay attention to how I'm communicating and how I'm treating him. It's different. Something has changed. I have a different husband. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a fun story to hear. And we hear their stories all the time. Mm-hmm. Keep them coming. But it's just this is why we do this stuff is when you do a good job with you, it really is a different equation.
Yeah. Totally. KyloUniversity.com. That's what we're referencing. You can register if you're interested. And
we'd love to have you.
We would love to
be have my group.
Yeah, or mine.
Awesome.
All right. Well, we're going to answer some questions. So we'll be back in just a minute. All right. Well, we're back and we're going to answer some questions. The first question that we have comes to us from Bernie.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. I've been loving the Kylo show. My husband and I have been learning about the love languages. I am definitely an acts of service and he is a words of affirmation. I have noticed that he is doing so much to serve me and heaps around the house. He's going to extreme lengths to show me how much he loves me and the things that he's done. But now it's getting to the point where he's doing so much that it actually feels more like manipulation than love to get me to compliment him on everything that he's doing. If I don't mention that I've noticed each individual thing, little comments are being thrown my way. And it's starting to result into me becoming more afraid to speak up and say things, and I'm shutting down. It feels like we're actually now in a battle of wills rather than love. How do we return to love flowing back and forth? and move away from trying to make the other person do what we want.
Well, Bernie, Danny is not here, but good thing for you, we've got another high words of affirmation guy and
acts of service girl.
Uh-huh.
So I just want to pause first and say she said heaps as an Aussie.
Yes.
I just so appreciate the Aussie coming out. It's good for me. So, Bernie, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to the question.
My first thought is, you know, it does sound like we've strayed away from the hardest to serve. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that maybe he's pursuing this because he doesn't feel like he's getting it. And so it's just becoming this thing to get what he wants, which is, you know, we're both guilty of this mm-hmm. in different ways. I think it probably the big one for me is the touch from you. Is, you know, I want to cuddle with you at night. And I go, I don't believe you at all.
Want to cuddle.
You don't ever want to just cuddle. And it's normally like, I know when that needs there, you know, because I'm not a touch loving, not a words person. So I know when I've depleted the well, because I'm the one putting the water in there.
I haven't visited in a while.
And so when you say you want to cuddle when I know you're depleted, I'm like, that's not, you're just hoping for something. But we've talked about this before. Like, I'm like, just tell me straight out that you want to have sex with me, which is, again, high D. I want it blunt. I want it straightforward. I want it honest. So that's what we had to learn. It's a little different than the words piece and the acts of service piece. But I think that it's a similar cycle in that you wanted something from me, but you weren't asking me directly what you wanted. And so I started to feel manipulated, which I really hated, which didn't work out in your favor either in our season. But I think probably my first thought, which I would love to hear yours, is you probably need to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like if you do something for me and I don't tell you thank you or praise you, I'd rather you not do it for me, because it starts to feel like you're manipulating me to get what you want, which is really yucky. And I want you to feel like I'm doing a good job of meeting your needs. So if I'm not doing that, that's a different conversation I need you to have with me. Because I want to meet your need. I want to serve you in this way. And if you don't feel that from me, man, I got to work on that. But this dynamic is that will never feel fun for me.
I remember answering this question in Mexico one time. A few years back, we were there and we did some little marriage seminar.
Yep.
After church on Sunday morning with a translator. It was so fun. And even in Mexico and Australia, they're asking the same questions, but
it's an international question.
But we had this, it's universal. I had this response, which was essentially, if you're only doing it for the praise or the affirmation, is that really love? Mm-hmm. And it's a hard check because there is this exchange that happens. You know, in the past when I've done this, I get what I need, but I'm not actually telling you the truth, like you're talking about. So I think just paying attention to, you know, what is my motivation, and how I actually share what I'm needing, because I think the other piece here as well, being married to an acts of service person, I could do 10 different things. But the thing you were needing that day from me, or the target that was going to hit that and really communicate the act of service that you were looking for, wasn't in this 10.
Yeah.
And so that's great that you cleaned everything and you packed up everything and all that. Did you see this thing over here? Which is really painful to hear for a words person to go, look, everything I did for you. Look at all the things I did for you.
Yeah.
Or you can go, oh, I missed it. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually ask you or lean in to figure out what you're needing today. Mm-hmm. I just hoped I could perform my way into get my need met rather than communicating. So,
and we did that a lot where, you know, especially younger years, there's a mountain of things to be done, especially with three kids at home.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe what I needed was to be able to park the car in the garage, but your tools were out or something like that, and you're working on something, but you couldn't get to it till the next weekend, and it's, you know, Tuesday. And I'm thinking about the rain's coming, I gotta go grocery shopping, I'm loading kids in and out, but not in the garage. So yes, the dishes are piled sky high. Yes, the laundry needs to be done, and the toilet's clogged again, and you know, I didn't take anything out for dinner. So those all are happening, and that's what you can see. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I'm most concerned about is I can't park in the garage.
Yeah.
But because you didn't ask, you don't get all the praise that you wanted. And I'm grateful for that. But it also kind of feels like, well, isn't that also your mess too? The dishes and maybe not the toilet. I don't know who did that. Probably Delaney when she was little, you know, when dinner. You know, so that's the hard part with an acts of service person is that there are some things that feel like this is just our partnership. Mm-hmm. I have a higher level of needs to get done. Like I love the bed mate. You don't have the need at all for the bed mate, but you do it because I love it.
Yeah.
And that's just one of those things. But, you know, these are the pieces of that acts of service that I love how you listed that out. This is why communicating and telling the truth and then also putting on display, you know, Bernie, you're asking this question, but it's really your husband that needs to figure out what he's going to do, but you're going to have to be willing to have the conversation of, I love you. This isn't feeling like love. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what you're needing from me because I now feel obligated to praise you when I feel like you're not, the heart towards me isn't love and affection or serving. It's to get something from me. So clearly we're missing it.
Yeah.
And those conversations when you're newly married feel really hard because they feel like it's dangerous territory.
Yeah.
You're like stepping on toes like, ooh, don't know how to do this. Or, you know, it's maybe there's just some other factors going on. But if I give you any encouragement, it's worth leaning in, having the harder conversation and keeping the truth on the table loud.
Yeah.
It's only going to benefit you. And then keep the goal of connection loud.
Yeah, because you both feel disingenuous right now.
Mm-hmm.
You both feel like I'm just doing this to check something off.
Yeah.
So paying attention to that as well, I think, is, you know, Bernie, my encouragement to you would be keep looking for opportunities to serve your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Keep laying your life down and doing a good job there while communicating the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then look for ways to give some feedback so that becomes his goal too.
Yeah.
It's his laying his life down regardless of what you do.
Yeah.
Because two people doing that creates a beautiful covenant.
So much better.
Good. All right, Bernie. You guys talking.
Great question. All right. This one does come to us from Instagram. So again, if you like to send us a Kylo question, great place to do that is Instagram. DM me. Just make sure you spell my name right. Otherwise, you won't find it. Brittany does not have an A. All right. Melinda asks us, how do we communicate through disagreement when our communication styles and habits are so different? Ben, we would have no experience with this whatsoever because we are the same human.
Said no married couple ever.
That was sarcasm for you.
Yeah. Yeah. How do we communicate through disagreement? I
we think, disagree. So that happens.
Well, that has happened before, that one time.
Yeah. Whatever.
We disagree often because we are so different.
Yeah.
I think the biggest piece here for me is we have to learn to listen. And not listen for myself, like, okay, I'm listening to hear how I would say it. I'm listening to what you're needing, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can respond. Because if I'm waiting for you to do it the way I would, I'm just going to live frustrated. And listening, you know, we talk about this all the time, but I think we talk about it all the time because it's such a pivotal, important piece of healthy relationships. Because... Mm-hmm. Most of us don't listen very well because I'm scared, because I'm hurt, because I'm different. You know, there's just different reasons why that happens. So I think it might sound like a simple answer, but I would start with just learn to listen really well while you're understanding your spouse. I think that's the other piece here is the thing that the journey we went on is learning to understand ourselves and then learning to understand each other. And the deeper that got, the more grace we had for each other.
Mm-hmm. We went on a hike yesterday and I was thinking about the water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat down to fill up our water filter and then fill up my water bottle and it was tucked underneath my bum. There you go. Another Australian Aussie word for you. And when I leaned into the water, it kind of lifted off of my bum and rolled and it's crazy snowfall here. So the water that's normally not like this is like rapids. It's crazy. So I look up and I see my water bottles just floating down the little pools and rivers and streams. And you had come over right in that moment, I think. And I was like, oh, I really love that water bottle. It was a cool one. It was like collapsed mm-hmm. into itself and clipped. And so it was really light.
Very backpacking friendly.
Yes. And I also love that you can put hot water in it and put it in your sleeping bag, keep you warm, because that is real. Anyways, so this water bottle is floating down the river and I'm sad to see it go. Well, Ben immediately is like jumping up thinking, I'm just going to hop my way through these little rocks and see if I can outdo the rapids. And all I can, I am not scared because we have different levels of necessity to this water bottle. Ben's like, I will save the water bottle for my wife because she loves it and I am here to serve. And I'm thinking, I so would rather a husband than a water bottle, as you're going to die on that cliff because that's just how this is going to go. And what I think about is this early years would have started an all-out fight. Right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Over a stinking water bottle.
Over a water bottle. Because we have different needs. Mm-hmm. We have different ways of approaching a disagreement, which is, that doesn't feel safe, doesn't feel worth it. Don't do it. Ben goes, I should get the water bottle.
Adventure and safe.
All hero. Uh-huh. Yeah. And even when we're leaving, you're like, I'm going to be right back. I'm like, oh my gosh. And all I can think about is it's not worth it because he is smart enough to figure out that he's not going to risk his life over a water bottle. But he's already risking his life more than I would risk my life for a water bottle.
Which is our whole marriage.
Which is everything. Pick a topic. But that's where I bring up the silly analogy because it just happened. And I was thinking about this is, you also did this with Lincoln. You took Lincoln across the rapids.
Absolutely.
To go see a cave. And all I could think about is he's going to kill my only son, which is the heir to your name, which then I think he's probably pretty important to him too.
I'm going to leave that there. You know the answer.
I do know the answer.
Kylo show audience, you know the answer to that question.
The whole point is we disagree.
Yes.
We disagree. We disagree.
We see it differently.
We disagree. And there's too many times that I can count that I'll say mostly me have decided to fight about it, which brings in our worst form of communication, yep. which I'm aggressive in my, when I'm in a disagreement and I'm scared and I'm choosing to pick a fight about it, I bring my worst and you bring your worst because yep. I'm scary. Yep. So what I've learned is it worth it? Good. Is it worth it? So I'm watching you jump from rock to rock thinking, please don't die. Please don't die. Please don't die. It's a water bottle or it's our son. It's our son. As I'm holding the dog that's nervous, who's manifesting how I feel. She's just shaking with giddy, like, I want to go with you. I'm like, I'm shaking because I'm afraid they're going to die. But I also have to go back to, okay, Ben's not going to risk his life for a water bottle because I know he's a wise man. But I have to talk myself off of,
sure.
Is this worth having a fight over?
You would never even take a step in that direction.
Right. You never heard any of this. I mean, we were laughing about the water bottle, but it wasn't a fight.
Meaning you would never consider what I'm doing.
No. Because yeah. it just didn't seem worth it. Yeah. None of it seemed necessary. There's no, it was not necessary. None of it was necessary. But that's our disagreement.
Yeah.
And I think this is in the young years, we're trying to navigate. I feel like you fight over the stupidest things.
Yeah.
Like,
it's one of the most common things we hear on assessments and from young couples is we end up fighting over the stupidest things that matter not.
Yeah. And I would say that Lincoln matters.
Well.
That would be a different conversation.
Deeply.
Deeply. Lincoln matters.
I love my son.
I know everybody. You love our son. But I think it's funny because even in that analogy, I had to go to, I trust Ben more than wanting to start an argument over something. And I know that you're wanting to push him and this and that, but I'm like, he's not going to endanger his life. And I have to trust that. Mm-hmm. So I won't have an argument about this. Even the girl sitting next to me, they're like, what is Dad doing? Why do we have to prove this right now? I'm like, I'm just glad that you think like me, girls. This makes me happy. But it is, I think that's what happens in early years is our disagreement and our lack of maturity and our lack of the ability to look at you and go, who do I know Ben to be? Yeah. He loves me. Yeah. He's wise. He cares deeply for our son. He wants to protect our family. Start an argument, Brittany? Is it worth it? Because you're going to blow up the whole day with you being pissy about being scared with your own stuff. I'm going to sit on this rock.
And at the end of all that, with these analogies, we were fine. But there's probably moments when you are scared and it's real and you need to communicate it. I think how you communicate that is such an important piece. Yeah. When it turns into you, it doesn't go very well.
No.
But when it turns to this is what I need because I'm scared, this is what I'm feeling inside, and you can help with that, that's a different conversation.
I just, not very long ago, something happened and I said, I need to tell you that I feel scared. Where normally I can easily do the you because I'm scared. When you're scared, it's easy to go with you. So good indicator. If you lead with you, say just a second.
Yeah.
And then figure out, do you feel scared? Okay, I'm scared. Change it. I feel scared. I need to not feel scared.
Yeah.
How can you help me not feel scared in this thing that we're doing together? Because that's the other thing is like, we're usually sharing something and you have half of it and you're freaking me out. You're freaking me out. But I go, okay, what do I know to be true? What is this worth ruining our day over you freaking out, thinking that Ben doesn't care about this? No, Ben does care about it. Lincoln's going to have a great time. And he did. He came back soaking wet feet, but he loved every second of it. And he's still alive.
He's still alive.
Yeah, so are you. And the water bottle is not.
No, the water bottle is gone. Someone probably found it without a lid.
I hope you love it, yeah. Rice Lake people. It's great. Anything to add to our communication style differences?
I think, you know, if you've read any of Danny's stuff or watched the courses online, I think what we're trying to get to is you matter, and so do I. And so even kind of peeling back some of the layers and trying to figure out, you know, what's our current style?
Yeah.
What's our current belief system? And, you know, for Brittany and I early on, it was she matters and I don't. And we agreed. So it was great. It made for a really, really good equation.
Really toxic relationship.
So we had to get to, and this was both of us growing a bunch, is we had to get to you matter and so do I. And when that begins to slip, that's when the communication, the feedback, the awareness, the sharing what's in my heart, that's when that comes out, is the agreement of you matter and so do I is changing. How do we get back to that? Because you're the most important person and I'm just as important in this relationship.
It's true. Well, young marrieds out there, or people that are young and pursuing marriage or old pursuing marriage, I think this is really important stuff to be paying attention to as you are in marriage and knowing what to protect in the early years, because it's a wild ride and there's a lot you can't control, but it's so much fun.
It's worth it. Yeah. It's worth the fight.
So thanks for joining us on The Kylo Show, and we will see you later.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Allie Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineered and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.